Good morning. It is good to see everybody here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. Today I'm preaching, Even Jesus Shed Tears. And when you get there, if you're able, I'd like to ask you to stand, please, as I read from God's Word. John, chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, See how we loved him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we truly thank you for the reading of your word. And Father, we pray, God, that we would be moved within our hearts today from what we've read, that, Lord God, we would trust you at your will because you do know what's best and you always move in your timing. And Father, today as I preach this message, Lord, let every word come straight from you through your Holy Spirit and let us hear from you, dear God, in a mighty and bold way. And Lord, do not let anything come from my lips that would be of my flesh or my own thoughts. And we just thank you, Lord, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to give you a whole lot of depth because a lot of you know the story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But I do want to hit on something really quick here. Now, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, they lived at Bethany, and Lazarus had been really sick, and Jesus was quite a few days away in travel, because you remember Jesus had to walk a lot of places, and so it would take him sometimes days to get to his next destination. But word had came to Jesus while Lazarus was still alive that he was sick. And so, but Jesus did not get up right away and take off to go be with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And a lot of people might think that Jesus was probably being cruel. He was not. Jesus knew in his own heart, and Jesus had even said that Lazarus would be raised from the dead. So Jesus tarried a few more days where he had been ministering because when he went to Bethany, he wanted to show the people what great and mighty power he had. So Jesus had gone on to Bethany. He arrived, and what we read in Scripture, Mary greeted him and she fell at his feet. And any human response, how many times have we said something to the Lord, God, if you would have only moved on this moment, it wouldn't have happened. And Mary is saying, Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. So Mary was basically expressing her grief, and we saw Jesus' response. And this shows the humanity of Jesus. When Mary was expressing her sorrow, she was basically mirroring the depth of human loss, what we feel inside of us. And I know a lot of us in the church probably felt that over the last few weeks. We've lost some people. We prayed for Amy to be healed, and that was not in God's plan for her. Yeah, she's 56 years old, but God saw something on down the road, and he chose to take her. So yes, there's human loss, there's grief. And I was thinking the other day, God, why didn't you heal her? And then when I talked with a family and they kind of let me know what had been going on and what she was projected to experience in her life, I started thinking, wow. So Janine and I were praying, Lord, you do what you have to do. You take her or you heal her. Either way, we're fine with it. And then at the funeral, when they were telling me about what her future would have been like, I mean, it just opened up. And I was like, you know, I wouldn't have myself wanted to have gone through a life of that kind of pain and sickness. And excuse me. I wouldn't have wanted my life to be drawn down to going to St. Louis all the time and spending time in Barnes Hospital and having surgery after surgery and never getting better. But God saw the moment and the time it was time for Amy to go. Just like at this time, Lazarus, he died, and Mary and Martha were very, very troubled. And in this, the Bible says that Jesus, he was groaned and he was troubled. So see, this shows that Jesus had emotional disturbance as well. It shows his empathy and his shared pain with his friends. Now I want you to know this. If you're going through something difficult in your life, I mean, there's a whole range of topics I could cover. A whole thing of sickness, disease, whatever it may be, whatever it is you are suffering with or going through in life, I want you to know that Jesus feels what you're feeling. Jesus knows the darkness you're walking through. He knows the pain you're experiencing. He knows the loneliness. He knows the rejection. He knows the heartache. He knows what it's like to shed tears because he has been through it. Now, if you look at Jesus' life, Jesus was constantly rejected by so many. People wanted to kill him. People didn't want him around. And he would have to slip off in the quiet and all by himself and get away from certain places because they wanted to take his life. So if anybody knew pain and loss, it was Jesus, because people turned their back on him. Jesus was never detached from their feelings or their emotions at all. He understood. That's why he was groaned deep within his spirit, because he was experiencing their loss at that time. So why weep? Well, Jesus wept not out of uncertainty, but Jesus wept because he felt the depth of their pain, sorrow, and loss that had taken place. He felt this way knowing that he himself could conquer death. See, Jesus knew his time was coming, that he would die on a cross. He knew that death was coming to him to his own self. But Jesus also knew that he was going to conquer death. Jesus knew that he would be raised from the dead on the third day, just like the Father told him and like he had been prophesying to so many people. So Jesus knew in the same way that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And even though he knew that, his depth of emotion, because he felt the same loss that Mary and Martha and even the friends were feeling all around. Now, when I was at the funeral home Wednesday night, Janine and I, we walked in there, and I cannot tell you the feeling that just overwhelms me sometimes. And I have to stand there and pray, and I have to really fight off some feelings and emotions that kind of come physically. But I know the Lord is right there with me, giving me the understanding I need. And he's also given me the comforting words to share with family or with friends that I may talk to all around. But as we got in there, I was listening to family members talk, and I could already tell that the Lord had been in their midst, and the Lord had been talking with them. The Lord had already touched their hearts, and he had already brought a peace to their minds and to their lives. And I know that's what Jesus was doing. He wept, but you know what? I also want to really believe this too, that Mary and Martha, they were already feeling the peace because of his presence. How many of you have ever gone through something, you've been praying, Lord, I just need you to show up in my situation, and you hadn't felt nothing maybe for days or weeks or months, but then the time came, you were in prayer, and you were praying to God, and while you were praying, you instantly felt his presence, you felt his touch in your life and upon your heart, and you felt almost like the Lord was taking you in and just giving you the biggest hug out of those precious, ever-loving arms. I know he's done that for me many times. Now, I said this morning in Sunday school that I couldn't hardly preach the message Thursday. I was myself weeping because I was feeling the loss. Now, Amy had become a dear friend to me. We had shared a lot on the phone and talking. Janine and I had prayed with her over the phone on speaker, and I had a lot of text messages back and forth with her while she was in the hospital. So I was feeling this pain. I was feeling the same loss, maybe not at the level the family was, because you know when it's a husband and children, they feel the loss at a different level and in a different way more than I would. It's like when my mother died 3 years ago, I had a lot of peace that she had gone on to heaven, but I was experiencing a loss. But in the midst of my loss, Jesus came, he attended to my side, he touched my heart, and he lifted my spirit above my circumstance. And I found this out to be so true. If we as Christian people, when we're going through a bad situation, when we're going through a negative, dark time, if we would praise God, if we would lift our hearts to him in honesty and sincerity and tell him, Lord, we need you. Lord, I can't make it without you. I depend on you. As David wrote in the Psalms, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God, or so my soul longs for you, Lord. Only you can quench what I'm experiencing. Oh, you're the one who can give me the drink, and I'll never ever thirst again. So that's what I love about Jesus. He was the Son of God in human form, and he was experiencing everything in life that you and I are going through today because he wanted to be the witness and the example that you and I needed. So Jesus could say, I've been there and I've done that. How many of you ever told somebody that? That somebody's going through something and God puts you in their path and you say, yes, I've been there. And buddy, you know exactly how to witness. You know exactly how to pray or minister or what, you know what to do at the right time so that that person is being reached in the depths of their heart and they are feeling your companionship. That's why God put us here together. That's why God gave us Jesus. He was our role model. And we've got to praise him. We've got to worship. And I've told you, when you worship, you throw those hands up to heaven. And you could do it at church, you do it at home. Don't do it in the car when you're driving, though, please. Don't take your hands off the wheel and throw them up to heaven and start praising the Lord. You may get pulled over or have an accident. But we should praise God. And when we praise God, it moves God to pour out his spirit, and he will meet our situation according to his timing and his will. And all we have to do is receive by faith and lift up with a sincere heart. That's what God's wanting. Almost goes again with our Sunday school lesson today too. Wow. Now the invitation to faith. The question of the tomb. Jesus asked, where have you laid him? It was just a simple question that led to a challenge. So they took Jesus to Lazarus's tomb. And so they walked Jesus up there. I wonder, that Jesus asked, where have you laid him at? Where's the tomb? And they took him there. I want to ask a question. Now, this ain't regarding the tomb, but pertaining to us as Christian people. Is there something in your life that maybe you've considered dead and you placed it in a tomb and you've kind of kept it away from the Lord? You wanted to keep it behind a rock. You didn't want it to be noticed. He knows already. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord wants us to open up our heart complete and be honest with Him, because that's how He can move within inside of us. But anyway, in verse 39, when Jesus wanted the stone rolled away, I didn't read verse 39, but first thing that pops out, here's Martha. And Martha says, "Oh, Lord, He's been dead for quite a few days. There's going to be a stench. He stinks." Well, I don't know how many of you have ever smelled the deer carcass that's been laying out in the hot summer sun for about 4 or 5 days after it's been hit. It ain't no good smell. Now, I thought driving past a hog farm was bad. That's a smell that'll turn your nose upside down altogether. But anyway, Martha, that's just a human response. "Lord, if You take the stone away, it's going to smell." Well, here, I want to pose this to you. I wonder if before the stone had ever been rolled back, I wonder if Jesus had already brought Him back from the dead, but He just hadn't been presented yet. Because see, the Bible says when the stone was rolled back, then Jesus called Lazarus forth and he came out and he was still wrapped in those grave wrappings, what they call the burial clothes. He was still wrapped up in that. But I wonder that. I don't know, but I wonder, did Jesus already have Him brought back to life? Because that was Martha's question. He's going to stink. Or did he already have that problem took care of? He already knew what was ahead. But when the stone got rolled back, the thing that would highlight our natural fear of what seems impossible. This is where Jesus calls for faith to remove the stone of doubt. How many of us have stones of doubt rolled across our heart? "Lord God, I know that You can do this." And we'll pray it. Or sometimes we'll say, "This is just too big for God even to handle." Because we get ourselves in a place where we let the devil fill our minds with such negativity, and I've preached this before, we limit God with this right up here instead of trusting Him with our hearts. We put a stone across the heart and we have doubt. Well, when we have doubt, He can't work it out. That's a new preacher saying right there. If we have doubt, He can't work it out. But if we just simply believe, if we trust and obey, if we would roll back the stone of doubt that's in our life and we say, "Father, I just need You to come in. I need You to invade my life." That's what we have to really say. "Father, I need You to invade my life. I need You to take over." What God is looking for us to do, God is looking for us to say, "I'm weak. I can't do it on my own. I need You." And that's exactly what was going on here. Mary and Martha had got down to a place where they had literally probably cried themselves to where they couldn't cry anymore. They were tired. They were fatigued. Probably had headache. No telling what they were experiencing. But they finally said, "Jesus, You're here. You're the only one who could do anything about this. Roll back the stones of doubt in your life, and whatever it is, say, God, I know You can do this," and then you believe He can do it, and you don't lose that faith, and then you watch what God does in His timing and in His way according to His will. I've prayed for so many things in my life to happen. I've told this story, but different people I prayed for to get saved. I prayed for years before somebody got saved. Why it took that long, I don't know, but praise God they did get saved. I praise Him. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Faith isn't about seeing how it will be done, but it's trusting who will do it. See, that's how a lot of people are. I have to see it to believe it. That's how a lot of people say it. I got to see it to believe it. Who do we know in the Bible like that? After Jesus appeared after the resurrection, Thomas. Thomas said, until I could see his hands and until I could touch the place on his side where the spear was thrust, I won't believe. Now, wow. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came right on in through the wall. He appeared before Thomas and he showed him. And then Thomas believed. I hope we don't ever get to that point, even though a lot of us have. I've been there. But we don't need to be getting to the place where we doubt God, where we have to see it to believe it. Now, on those infomercials, yeah, I tell you what, I would have to see it to believe it. I'll tell you this quick little story. We were down in Branson, Missouri back in 2014, back in the summer, and man, it was hotter than blue blazes down there. It was June or July sometime in there. And there's a fella down there. We went to the IMAX theater to get our tickets to watch the Canadian Pacific Railroad big IMAX movie. It was so cool to see that. But there was a fella down there. He had a table set up. And he said to me and Janine, hey, could I stop you for just a moment? I want to clean your glasses for you with this miracle stuff I got. And he says, I'm telling you what, it'll clean your glasses so well, your glasses won't fog up, and you're going to see so clear. Well, now, I don't know what solution he was using, but he took Janine's glasses, he took my glasses and cleaned them. We put them on, was like, wow! So then we went ahead and bought a $20 bottle of this purple magic solution, and he gave us a free bottle to go with it for $20, that's all we had to spend. And when we come home from our trip, I couldn't wait to try the magic solution. Well, I got my glasses out, they was a little dirty, and I used the solution just like that guy did, and I put them on, and I tell you what, I had a haze over both of my lenses. I couldn't see nothing. And I told Janine, I said, we've been taken for a free ride. And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, look at my glasses. They're all fogged over. I said, I can't see nothing out of them. I had to go into the kitchen, and she taught me, Janine taught me the neatest trick at that time. Take Dawn dishwater or dish soap and a little bit of lukewarm water. Boy, I cleaned them lenses all up, rinsed them all off real good, got all that. Put my glasses on after dry, and I could see clear as a bell. I tell you what I did, I called that feller. He gave us his number, and I told him, I said, you know what? I said, that stuff don't work. Well, I saw something done, but I got deceived, but he ended up giving my money back. He sent us our money back, and all we had to do is send him the unused portions back. But see, in this world today, we want to see it to believe it. But with God, we trust by faith, knowing He will do it. And as I've said many Sundays, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we don't have any faith, then He can't move. He can't work. If we put up a wall, He can't get through that wall. If we roll a stone in front of the way, well, he'd be gentleman enough to stand there. He'd be waiting for you to roll the stone back, saying, okay, Lord, I'm done playing my games. Let's do it your way. All righty. The divine power over death. Jesus wept. This reveals the most tender, compassionate heart. It shows that the Lord feels our deepest pain because he was the Son of God in human form. It shows that God understands your every burden that you're going to bear in this life. Now, could you imagine being there and seeing Jesus, the Son of God, weeping? Wow. Now, I don't know it. I don't know. They say there's no tears in heaven. So, I don't know. But we have an advocate. His name is Jesus. And what I want to challenge you with today, is there something in your life that you've got up in the way that you've been holding God back? Well, I'm not going to let God have this area of my life because of what happened there. A lot of us would say God couldn't take care of that. Well, God doesn't really know what yes, He does. God knows and God understands. And if God can create this earth, and if He can create the solar system we have, and if He can take dust of the ground and form a man and breathe life into him, then God can take care of any problem I've got. God has every answer that I need. I just have to trust Him. The call of life. Jesus cried with a loud voice. He gave a command. The dead man Lazarus comes out. This shows Jesus' authority over the grave. If you'll give Jesus authority in your life, and if you will roll back the stones in your life, if you will take away the hindrances that's keeping Him from working, if you will let Him have authority, He will move in your life, and you don't have to be afraid of what He's going to do. You just have to trust that what He's going to do is for His glory and for your good. Jesus is not going to do bad things to you. Now, Laura was mentioning TV preachers this morning. I tell you what, I'm not an advocate of a lot of TV preachers. I'm not being judgmental. But when they get on there and start browbeating people over sin and things and make themselves look like they're just shining gold, I don't like it. And people listen to that garbage, and then they get afraid to get in a relationship with the Lord because they think they might get called to the deep jungles of Africa. But what if you did? Well, I don't want to follow God. He might want me to teach Sunday school. He might want me to be a missionary. He might want me to be a preacher. He might want me to serve as a deacon or a trustee. Or He may want me to go down to the local senior center and cook meals. Whatever it is, if God's sending you to do it, He will equip you to do it, and He will carry you through it all. You just got to trust Him. Now, the defeat of death, the miracle isn't just restoring Lazarus to his old life. It's a foreshadowing of ultimate resurrection and God's power over death itself. So, when it comes our time to physically die, you're not going to lay in a casket or burned up in an urn. I don't know what people have for their funerals and all that planned for themselves, but I told Janine, if I die before the Lord comes back, put me in the ground cheap as possible, because I don't want 2 tons of money put in that ground. Because all it is, it's going to be my old house going back to the ground it come from. I ain't going to need it during that time. I'm going to be resurrected. The moment I die, my spirit will leave my body immediately. I want to share this with you. And I don't think David would mind if I did. Or Chancellor Savannah. But they said while Amy was laying in bed and while she was nearing that time, they said she was calling out the names of deceased loved ones that had gone on before her, and she was calling out to them. She was on the way out. See, that's what's great about death for the Christian. When you're dying, it ain't a scary thing. I mean, it happens so quick and so fast. Don't ask me what it's like to die. I ain't never done it. So If I have, we're in trouble if I'm still standing up here. But it happens so, I believe it happens in the twinkling of an eye, just like that. And we're put into the presence of the Lord Jesus, and we will be resurrected. We have victory over death because of what Jesus did. When Jesus rose from the dead, it meant that we too, when we died, we would be immediately raised and we would be resurrected in spirit to be in heaven until the Lord comes back. And when the Lord comes back, we know that the Bible says that there is the sounding of the trumpet, there is a shout of the voice of the archangel. The Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are remaining will be quickly changed to meet them in the air. That means all the dead saints who have gone on, you would literally see the Christian bodies, the bodies of the Christians at Boscadale Cemetery and everywhere else. Man, them graves are going to be open, and their spirit and their body comes back, and they're changed into what God wanted them to be, which is immortal, the new body. And those of us left, we will be quickly changed, and just like them, and right in the, all in the twinkling of an eye. Isn't that amazing? That's how powerful the Lord is. All right, I better get going. It's almost 11:25 here. I just want to bring out some points for you to ponder. And I want you to embrace Jesus' empathy. Don't ever suppress your grief. Bring your pain to Jesus because He knows and understands. Don't bottle it up. How many of you ever had someone tell you, don't keep a bottle inside, let it go? You got to. How many times have I kept stuff bottled up and whoo, wow. It's not good when it finally, just like a volcano. Man, when that builds up in that volcano and that thing finally explodes, wow. Don't ever let your life get that way. Bring it to the feet of Jesus. You're not going to freak Jesus out by what you bring to Him and what you tell Him, because He already knows it. He's waiting for us to confess it. And then we have to believe beyond what you see. You have to trust God's power in your life, even when circumstances look final, like a sealed tomb. You ever looked at something in your life and go, whoop, that's it. There's no hope beyond here. And then a lot of people, just like concrete, they mix it up and they get it set and they leave it. And they think there's no hope beyond here. Well, with God's power working your life, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible to him who believes. And then see God's glory in your suffering. Don't look at your own self-pity and say, whoa, woe is me. Be kind of like Hee-Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Whoa. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Whoa. That's how a lot of people look at their situations. But if you would see God's glory in your suffering, if you would see the good things that He can do in your life, then you know He's going to work a miracle in your life, just like He did here. But He not just did it for Lazarus, He'll do it for us too. He will do it for us too. I'm going to close right there. Now, I want to put this invitation out to you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if you die right now, you sent your own self to hell. All eternity separated from God, weeping, gnashing of teeth, darkness, torment, pain. You think it's bad on this earth now, you go to hell without Jesus, it's going to be hell for sure. And I ain't cussing either. I'm giving you the truth. But if you know Christ and you live for Him, then you die, you're going to go and be with Him in glory.